The Scammy Street podcast is intended for an adult listener audience. Our podcast contains stories and language that may not be suitable for all ages. Listener discretion is advised. Hello, spooky witches, and welcome back to the Scare Me Straight podcast. I'm Alexa, and I'm joined with...
I'm Nicole.
I'm Jonathan.
Woo! And my face is numb, so hopefully we don't sound too ridiculous while we're reading this story. How's everyone doing?
We're vibing and thriving.
Yeah.
That's a t-shirt.
I do like that. I've never heard that before yet.
That's a good one. Vibing and thriving. All right, so you guys know my topic for tonight. And for tonight, I wanted to dive into the origins and early history of the Ouija board. So before we talk about any of that fun stuff, I wanted to kind of gauge like your reaction on Ouija boards, because I know that you both have very different perspectives on it. So tell me your thoughts in a general sense on Ouija boards.
Who wants to go first?
You go first.
I don't fuck with Ouija boards. I don't want anything to do with the Ouija board. I will not play with the Ouija board. It's a no for me, dog.
Nicole!
So tell us why, though. I'm curious to know.
Your upbringing?
I don't know if it's my upbringing or what, but like, I feel like that is just fucking with things that you don't want to fuck with, and you're going to invite something on through.
Something on through?
Yeah.
Okay. So you are not the only one that has that feeling. And after doing all this research, there's a lot of people that feel that way. So
Nicole, I want to know, is that based in like a religious background or just a personal like thought feeling process?
I mean, that's like a personal thought.
Okay. Then you're like, don't do it because y'all gonna purge me. The Ouija board. Wait, ask Tim.
They want to know your views on the Ouija board.
I'm down. Let's do it.
You want to do it? Yay!
Nicole is a hard no.
I will watch you guys from over here on Zoom.
I'll dive in. I'm down.
Oh, I love it.
All right, we got the threesies at least.
Okay, so Tim is in.
Uh-huh.
So I am not worried about demonic or bad things, because I feel like when you set your intention and you say, this is a space of love and light, and we are not allowing anything. And like we have to come up with something that is like very pertinent and very specific. But like, and we're just allowing like spirit guides, angels, whatever to come in, and we're very specific about what we're allowing. I think when you set the precedent, I think you can speak to whatever. Like if you're just like playing with the Ouija board and playing around, yeah, you're gonna get some spirits that are like, oh, we're gonna jump in these bitches right now. Like we're gonna fuck them up.
Hey.
But if I like make it very much known that like I am not going to deal with anything demonic, evil, devilish, anything that wants to take anything from us, this is a space of light and love, and that's it.
You are not welcome here.
Yes.
What if something tries to trick you, though?
I think when it comes to like intent and love and feeling, I think there is no tricking. Like, I don't think if you're a creature not made of light and love, that you cannot deceive.
So, John, where did you get that thought from? Because you must have gotten that from something. So I'm curious to hear.
I think of it like from meditation practices. And like, so when I meditate and I think about it and I want to create a space that is healing or like feeling good and making myself feel a certain way, I think about the things that make me feel good, and light and love are the two things that do make me feel good. Nice, so like, if it's white light and bright and it's enveloping me, it's love, it's warmth, it's those feelings. I also kind of feel like your intent and what you're putting into it is what you're going to get back. And I feel like that's part, maybe probably Abraham Hicks esque.
Yeah.
Like that's where I definitely pulled a lot of that. But I also think that's like just religion in general. I think that's like spirituality in general.
I think it gets very mushy when we talk like spirituality versus like religion.
Agreed.
And this actually dives a lot into that as well, which is kind of fun to look at that. because we're going to talk a lot about spiritualism as a religion in itself. Yeah. So we're going to dive into a lot of that, which you're going to be like, holy shit, because I didn't realize that this has been going on for decades, right? But thank you both. I really am excited to hear, especially after we talk about its origins, how you feel about it afterwards.
Wait, can you tell us how you feel, or are you going to wait?
I feel very much the same way that John does. I realize that depending on you and your kind of like your inner thoughts, I would say, how that underlying condition is. So like if I was in a space of depression or anything along those lines, there is no way that I would be playing with Ouija board. If I felt like that inner light and that happiness, and I know that I'm okay talking to a different realm, then yes. But I think there's a line where people don't fully understand that you have to be in the right mindset. You have to set those intentions in order to speak to what you think you're speaking to. That being said, I did hear a lot of like negative things from experienced Ouija users as well, which we can talk about later. It just kind of depends, you know?
I have a question. Are you guys super? I know we talked about this in our superstition episode, but I don't remember. Are you guys superstitious?
I'm not.
I am.
I'm surprised that you're okay with Ouija boards being superstitious.
Right, yeah.
Well, so I agree with Lex. So when I go into a Ouija board, I'm not thinking something bad is going to happen. I'm not even living in that world. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to superstitions, yeah, girl, I'm not going to step on that crack. I am not playing with the number 13. I am not playing with fucking ladders and fucking umbrellas. Mm-hmm. But I feel like I know those things are silly, but I still buy into them.
Okay, maybe superstition wasn't the right word. I'm trying to think. I think maybe what I am more of like very cautious of are portals to the other realm. Because I don't put mirrors in my bedroom. I will never have mirrors facing each other. It's like anything that could potentially create a portal, like I just...
Wait, putting mirrors facing each other creates portals?
I don't even like having a mirror in my bedroom.
We're all going to hold hands and we're going to jump into a portal, girl.
Well, I don't think
different realms, right?
Go to like other realms, but I think it's a portal to create that something from the other side can come in through.
So, Nicole, that's interesting though, because how do you feel about other divination practices?
Like, what do you mean? Like, what's an example?
Tarot cards. See, now a lot of people feel that Ouija boards and tarot cards are on the same plane because you're still talking to a different being, we should say. I would like to think a higher being, but not necessarily true. And those are forms of talking to spirits, quote unquote. Spirits.
And you are tuning into your current feelings. Mm-hmm. Like tarot cards, like read what the room is saying based on how you're feeling now.
Mm-hmm. I feel like I'm not very good at tarot cards. So I've tried it a couple times and I'm like, I don't know what I'm doing.
I feel like I've gotten really good at it. The last couple that I've done, every single time, I cry pretty much every time I do tarot because I feel seen and I'm like, something out there is like, yeah, you're going to have this card and this is how you're feeling. And I'm like, damn, that could be out of however many 60 something cards in a deck. Crazy.
Love it.
Yeah.
That's
love
cool.
Love it.
Nicole, we should
maybe
do
I'm just
together.
Not, I'm not like in tune with my spiritual. So I feel like you guys are maybe more in tune with your spiritual side than I am, because you guys meditate and are like, you guys can put yourself in that space where I feel like I cannot.
It takes practice. It does.
Yeah. And even then it's like sometimes you're up here with it, other times like you're not even connected. And it's just like a continuous up and down of like trying to figure out a good space to be in with this kind of stuff. I agree. If you're not in the right headspace, your tarot card reading is going to be like, well, girl, this is how you feeling right now. Let me tell you what's up.
I don't think like when I do it, I'm in a bad headspace. I just think I'm like, okay, let's try it. And then I'm like, I don't know what this means. I don't know what's going on.
Once you kind of
so
get
into feelings, them. You don't get feelings when you touch cards. Mm-mm. Do you, Lexi?
I like to think that I do. I would say yes. But yeah, like if a card flies out of the deck or something, or like one like flips spontaneously, like I'll take those because I know that's something. Like I take that as a hint almost, or I feel like a tingly feeling kind of.
Yeah.
How do you guys get cards in reverse when like the deck is normal? How does it flip? It's like, you know.
Okay. So I make a giant pile of them. I don't, and I shuffle and I make sure that they're not like completely upright. So I make a huge pile and then I like put my hand over. It should be your non-dominant hand that you kind of feel for and then go from there.
Interesting. Okay.
We should do one.
I do something similar. I take the cards and I shift them in the deck like this, like a Rubik's Cube. And then I make them all one single deck and then I flip up or pull to the side. It's like I get a feeling of like I get spicy. So if I feel a card, I feel spicy.
That's interesting.
Then I ask, am I flipping this up or to the side?
We should.
And I'll ask that in my brain and my brain will say, flip it to the left. And then I flip it. And then like, it just depends on how it lands.
That's so funny. I love how like yours is so line.
Yes.
There's a word.
I always ask how, like, what the next step is going to be.
Okay.
So, like, I put my hand over the card, and I'm like, ooh, that's it. That's spicy. I pull it. I'm like, am I going to flip this upside down or to the right? Mm. And then my brain will say to the right. And I just, like, whatever comes first, that's what I do. Now, I don't know if that's just my brain, but, like, I follow that.
I just throw mine in a giant pile, and I just put my hand over one, which I think is really funny because that's very much me, and then that's very you. Yeah. And that's how I find the ones that I think work. And I always do a spread. So I always do, I go in with that intention of this is the spread that I'm doing. Yeah. And these are the questions that I'm asking, or this is how I'm feeling. How do I navigate those feelings? So
I'm so sad we never did a tarot.
I know.
We should do one together for an episode.
Mm-hmm. We could. We could do like a tarot card reading.
I'm 1,000% down.
That would be so fun. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Should we start?
Yeah.
Officially.
Sorry, we got a little.
No, I like it. I'm so excited that we're like interested. But so let's dive in to kind of like the origin story of the Ouija board. And then after that, we'll see if we have time or whatnot. And we could talk about a couple of different stories and some things that I found on TikTok that might be interesting to you guys. But before we can talk about the origins of the Ouija board, we kind of have to talk about the history of spirit communication, because it obviously is all in the same line. So prior to the 19th century, people have been connecting, have had these ideas of connecting to spirits for like throughout a variety of different cultures and throughout time. So some of the influences that we pretty much can assume that helped develop the Ouija board include ancient divination practices. So the idea of talking to your guidance system, spiritual entity or forces, and this kind of came in the method of like scrying, or someone would gaze into something reflective, such as water or crystals, and they assume to have seen some form of visions. Then we get into the idea of what's called automatic writing. This is where individuals would allow themselves to be guided by spirits to write messages without conscious control. So practitioners of this would hold like some kind of writing instrument, depending on, you know, whatever. And the spirits would essentially manipulate their hand in order to write some form of message. This is where the planchette was also originated from, because a planchette is usually a heart-shaped flat piece of wood. And when they were using this for automatic writing, they would have some kind of like little holster where they would put a pen or a pencil in, and you would put your hands on the planchette. And rather than writing with your hand, the planchette would move with the pen or the pencil in order to create those words. The planchette is also seen on a Ouija board. So that's that little piece that you hold and it goes over the letters. That's a planchette.
Yeah.
So then we see after that, we see something that's called talking boards, which before the Ouija board, spirit boards have often been used for communication with the spirit world. These devices are similar to the Ouija board because it features letters, numbers, and symbols that help spell out messages. And these boards have been seen used in China and in Europe during the Middle Ages. And a lot of times back in the day, they're kind of known as witch boards, which I feel like that's a little taboo, but back then it makes sense, you know? So all of those things kind of wrap up the idea of where the Ouija board has come from. Now, the Ouija board itself is a fairly modern invention, and its roots of talking with these supernatural entities has always fascinated humans from like before we can even, you know, write down in books. It's been in decades. That being said, in the 19th century, spiritualism strongly influenced the use of Ouija boards and other mediums to facilitate spiritual communications. Now, spiritualism is the movement, or a movement, that was a cultural phenomenon that emerged primarily in Western societies during the mid-1800s. And this was a religious movement that was characterized by the belief in the existence of spirits and the possibility with communicating with them through mediums, seances, and other spiritual practices. So this was a huge boom in the 1800s. And around this time, especially in the United States in the 19th century, this was when childbirth, war, and other diseases kind of lend itself to shorter lifespans. So death was pretty frequent and a lot more frequent than obviously today. Many believe that the mass amount of deaths, including deaths from the Civil War, had a huge impact on people trying to communicate with their loved ones. So they were basically trying to find this way to get answers to questions that they could never find, because a lot of times in the Civil War, their loved ones would just essentially disappear. And they really wanted to find out how that happened. And they were just kind of hoping that spiritualism could provide answers to questions that no one could answer for them. So spiritualists believe in primarily two things. They believe in the fact that contact with spirits is possible. And number two, that spirits are more advanced than humans. So those are the two primary beliefs. They believe that spirits are capable of providing useful insights regarding moral and ethical issues. And spiritualists will often speak of a concept where they refer to spirit guides as to who they are calling upon during their seances or their automatic writing or things like that. Many prominent spiritualists were women. And back then, they believed that this was possibly because women were more in tune with their feelings or with their bodies. And they were also people who were looking to abolish things such as slavery and women's suffrage in an effort to kind of improve conditions of the general population of people. So this concept of contacting the dead was socially acceptable and even wholesome to people back in the 1800s. So what do you guys think about that? Because now we're looking at, this was a normal thing. People did seances just as like, you know, you'd come over to our house, we'd have a party and we'd do like a little seance, you know? So
pull out the Ouija board.
That was normal.
I mean,
normal.
I know the 1920s, there was also like a really big, like the 1920s and 30s, there was like mm-hmm. a big resurgence of that whole spiritualism and people were hosting like seance parties.
Right, exactly. So knowing that and that where this comes from, does that change your thoughts, Nicole, at all about
hell no.
using a Ouija board?
Y'all still need to stop fucking around.
John, what do you think?
It doesn't change my thoughts either. If anything, like, I guess I would have been a spiritualist spiritualist back mm-hmm. then. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Because I'm like, yeah, I agree with both those premises. That the dead, there's an essence. And it is strong and it's probably on some different frequency and super beautiful and amazing. And so like, of course, dead people and their essence are like more open to abject things than we are. Right. And also, I do think we can talk to them and experience them and feel them. It's just we don't have the capability for whatever reason to like physically do that.
Right.
So I guess I guess I'm a spiritualist.
It's a little wholesome to think too. Like just to imagine people back in the day being as though, oh, let me just talk to my dead husband, you know, just hoping for those things. And so mm-hmm. it kind of humanizes the idea a little bit.
Yeah. Nicole, you look,
you know,
baffled.
It's interesting.
Skeptical.
I would actually like, if I knew somebody was legit, like I would meet with like a spirit guide or like a spiritualist or somebody who can communicate with angels, but like I don't want to do the direct communicating. I want somebody else to do it for me.
That makes sense completely. Yeah, 100%.
That does make sense. So like you would talk to a psychic or like a medium. If somebody was dead, you'd talk to the medium and through them, you'll get the messages.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
And I don't want to do it myself.
You don't want to do the dirty, spooky work.
No.
Okay.
And I do want to preface this by saying like, there are a lot of people, especially online, who are used to contacting a different realm. They do say that if you're not used to something like this and you're just going into it all willy-nilly, there is potential danger. So I completely understand where you're coming from, because if you don't know what you're doing, it could be an issue.
But yeah, like I feel like I don't know what I'm doing, so I don't want to like fuck around and find out, but like I'm okay going to a professional. Mm-hmm. Now I still don't want that professional to pull out a Ouija board in front of me.
I was gonna say, like, if Lexi and I do the Ouija board and you're like sitting with us,
no,
that's a no-go.
No, but like I don't mind if a like getting in touch with a spiritualist to like, you know, give me insight. Because girl, you're the professional. Makes you sense. Know what you're doing.
Yeah, I get that. Mm-hmm. And I think that if anyone is not sure how to do it, I think that's the best way to go about it. Yeah, for sure. Or unsure in their like abilities to do so. I definitely agree. Yeah.
Because I would love to contact a spirit guide or something. Like, you know, like kind of have that insight given to me. And I still, like I told you guys, my hair lady does the woman who does like the angel readings, and I really want to do that, but I'm also kind of scared.
You should absolutely do it,
girl. When she was sitting next to me getting her hair done, I was like, what if the angels are telling her all kinds of shit about me?
Just talking shit. Look at this, they might bitch.
Be look at her, that's toes,
that's the crusty toes.
Look at that
actually
hair.
I don't wear open-toed shoes in public, so
why?
I don't like anybody looking at my toes, not for free.
Why?
That's paid content. But yeah, like I need to do it.
You should. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
John, I know you had a lot of experience talking with some before too.
Oh yeah, that's true. Give us your insight.
Mm-hmm. And maybe that also, maybe because I experienced the death and it was very like poignant to me, maybe that also has influenced my like thought process on the afterlife and dead people. Mm-hmm. Because like I've definitely had weird shit happen and things that I will never be able to explain, other than I truly believe that people who have passed can absolutely get in touch with us in multiple mm-hmm. ways.
I think so.
And too. I have talked to psychics and mediums mostly. And I don't know. Things are kind of wild sometimes. So I don't know, Nicole, I'll tell you like specifics one day. I'm surprised we actually haven't talked about this, because like there's been a lot of crazy shit. Yeah. Cause I have like, there was a lot within that first year of just things happening and me talking to certain people and getting in touch with certain people randomly.
Yeah.
And like having these really intense conversations.
Remember when I told you to go start doing certain things? And that was because of, I think that we should actually do an entire episode on this.
I think it'd be interesting.
Okay, we should do it with like our tarot card episode and like a spiritual. I wonder if we can get like a guest, like a specialist.
But Jen, I feel like your experiences are so like, I want to say believable, but I know there's a better word out there.
Yeah.
It's so, if it was random, it's a wild coincidence.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like there have been things that I've experienced that are like I would have never experienced, and they all had they're happening. They were happening. So it's like I definitely think that there's like power and things going on. I just can't explain it, cuz probably don't have like the ability to or the words to.
Yeah.
And I also don't talk to like I'm not clairvoyant, I'm not psychic, medium, like I don't hear the dead people or they don't talk to me or anything.
But obviously they're reaching out.
So yeah.
Yeah. I think it'll make for a very interesting episode.
Agreed.
I wonder if we can get in touch with like a spiritualist who would come on.
I would love that.
Yeah. I just don't know how do I find a legit You know, that's like my whole thing.
I think they'll find us.
Well, that is how I have met both the ones that I talk to.
Mm-hmm.
They found me. I found them.
But back to the Ouija boards. So the kind of official, unofficial beginning of spiritualism was set on March 31st of 1848. And on this day, Kate and Margaret Fox, they gained a lot of fame because they said that they could communicate with the dead, essentially with a deceased man who had allegedly been murdered in their house, murdered and burned. They communicated with the spirits through a series of knocks and raps, which they interpreted as answers to their questions. With this, the Fox sisters became a sensation and known as the first celebrity mediums. And I think that the circus guy who that movie,
Barnum and Bailey?
Yes. That him?
P.T. Barnum.
P.T. Barnum.
Yeah, P.T. Barnum.
I'm pretty sure that he got a hold of them and they were a part of his acts and things like that. So he kind of sensationalized them a little bit more. They gave demonstrations to their supposed abilities to communicate with the spirits and held seances for hundreds and hundreds of people. However, in 1888, the sisters admitted that this contact with the spirit was a hoax, saying that the knocks and raps were made with them cracking joints of their body. More specifically, they said that they were cracking their toes, and that's how they were creating the knocks and things such as that. I don't know. I heard a number of different things with this. I heard that they faked the hoax. I heard that they then later on came back and were like, oh, no, the hoax was a hoax. I don't know. So that was a little bit confusing, but but they kind of like started the idea of spiritualism, because then people took this and they were like, oh, so they could do it, so can we, right? And then it wasn't until 1890 when the term Ouija was used as the name for a popular talking board. It was named by a medium and spiritualist named Helen Peters Noseworthy, who was helping her brother-in-law, Elijah Bond, and his business partner, Charles Kennard, come up with a marketable name to manufacture the board. So they were businessmen. They were looking to create these boards and sell them, and she was going to help them come up with a name. One night in 1890, they decided to hold a seance and ask the board what it wanted to be called. Noseworthy repeatedly asked the board, and it answered, spelling out O-U-I-J-A. Then, when they asked it what it meant, the board answered G-O-O-D-L-U-C-K. So, good luck. Some people feel like that's a little bit spooky. A little bit.
So, does Ouija stand for anything?
Well,
or is it another language? Like, where does the word come from?
So, originally, they said that this was an Egyptian word that meant good luck, but further research showed that there is no such Egyptian word that stands for good luck. Then they said that Helen Peters had a locket on her, and inside the locket, there was a woman whose name was Weech, or it wasn't exactly Ouija, but it was very close to that. And then people started to assume that that's where they got the name from. So subconsciously, I'm not sure if that's how it was spelled out on the board, but there are the like two, both sides of that, either the Egyptian name or the locket that she held.
It really upsets me that like people were doing hoaxes back then. And like, there are still people that do it.
Yeah. I mean, they're probably getting paid really good money. So, you know, but like I said, some people don't believe that that was a hoax also. I don't know. But like most talking boards, the Ouija board was a flat board marked with letters A through Z, the numbers 0 through 9, the words yes and no, and occasionally, depending on what kind of board you buy, hello and goodbye, along with a variety of different symbols and graphics. It uses a planchette, which is that small heart-shaped wooden piece of plastic or wood, and this was movable in order to spell out messages during seances. So just a little fun fact really quickly, the seance that this happened with Helen Peters is actually now a 7-Eleven that you can go visit, and you could totally look up the address But you can still go to that building today, which I thought was kind of fun. A little fact.
And where was this at?
I can find out for you. I should have written down the address. I didn't. I don't know why. But
like, what? Do you know what state?
No.
Oh.
Not off the top of my head.
Damn, a 7-Eleven.
But it's 7-Eleven.
Not the spooky 7-Eleven.
So you can go get a little slushy, slurpy.
A little slurpy and seance.
little hot doggies.
Can we start that? Slurpees and seance?
Love it.
So after that, Elijah Bond files for a patent in order to be able to sell these boards, right? But a bunch of different patent offices refused to even like look at his product. Nobody wanted to take his board or to give him the patent until one office eventually told him that, yes, you can have the patent if you can prove that the board actually works. So this was a story told by the grandson of Helen Peters. And he said that that Bond took Peters to the patent office in Washington, D.C. They showed the first clerk who said, I don't want to be a laughing stock, is basically what he said. So they got the chief clerk who said, if the contraption can spell out my name, then you've got your patent. And apparently nobody knew his name. Then Peters takes out the Ouija board. It allegedly spells out his name perfectly on the board. The chief clerk, who was visibly shaken, says, okay, you've got your patent. But the patent specifically, and you can find the patent online, it doesn't tell you how the board actually works. It just states that it does work in some way.
It's interesting that they applied for a patent for it because they're like, we're going to monetize this.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they saw that it was pretty much a sensation. So they took it and ran with it, which pretty good businessman. But so Ouija, the wonderful talking board, became a cultural staple when it hit the shelves for $1.50 in 1890. And the Ouija board began to appear in sketches for major newspapers, and it grew in popularity, especially throughout the Great Depression. Apparently, in 1966, Parker Brothers bought Ouija board. And with them, in 1967, it outsold the game Monopoly. So they were able to sell so many that it outsold Monopoly.
What was going on in 1967 that everybody wanted a Ouija board?
Vietnam War.
Interesting.
Everybody trying to talk to their dead family members.
It's going to happen.
Yeah, that's very weird that war would correlate with Ouija board sales.
I mean, you kind of see the correlation of wars with Ouija and seances and boards being sold.
Really? So. Interesting. I didn't think
because remember the Civil War back then is what pretty much sparked the idea of spiritualism.
Late 1800s.
And now then you had the Great Depression and then you had the Vietnam War. So all these things, people probably had nothing better to do, probably needed somebody to talk to. And that was theirs.
They already played Monopoly, so now they...
They didn't want to play life.
Also, side note, yeah, it also with Monopoly because Monopoly sucks. Like, nobody wants to sit down and play Monopoly.
I don't think anyone's finished a game of Monopoly ever.
Even back during Monopoly.
I love Monopoly. It's just, it's like, you know, you're going to invest like 5 hours of your life and it's just a lot.
Yeah, girl.
And then you come up with like two slumlords and it's like fighting the slumlords. Like, it's not fun at that point.
We should play a game of Monopoly.
All right. So when the Ouija board was invented, this was kind of during like Victorian times. It kind of broke a lot of rules when it first came out. So at a time, Victorian times, when you weren't supposed to be alone with the opposite sex, people weren't supposed to be touching. The Ouija board was built so that you have your knees and fingers touching. This was ultimately a date game back then.
Oh,
the original. The original direction said that you had to be, for best results, it should have been two people, a lady and a gentleman were preferred. And this was essentially how men would buy it for women and how they would have like a little date night and they would.
And fucking touch knees.
Touch knees. Touch knees and fingies. Sounds hot.
I am gagged.
I don't like it.
Y'all
hey,
are...
let's touch knees and talk to dead people.
Yeah. You guys are potentially opening portals and letting demons into the world so you can touch a woman's knee.
I'm kind of this is...
That's what they're concerned with.
men are the root.
They don't
of
even
evil.
Care about the demon girl. They don't care. They're like, I'm gonna touch this girl's knees.
You know what the demon said? Later, we go to fuck.
Men are the demons.
Bloop, I mean, bloop, bloop.
So, talking about demons.
Demons.
A lot of religious groups now talking about Ouija and talking to the dead, including Christians, Catholics, and pretty much every other religious group viewed the Ouija board as a tool of the occult and strongly opposed its use. Like, they were flat out said, do not use this. They saw it as a gateway to demonic possession or manipulation by evil spirits, leading to warnings against its use and its association with witchcraft and Satanism.
Speaking of witchcraft, every time Gita fucking comes on my screen,
you look pale, girl.
It turns like green, and then I have to like minimize Zoom, and then it goes back to normal.
She's possessed.
She's summoning.
Are you summoning Pazuzu?
Pazuzu. Oh, Pazuzu girl. He's like, yeah, girl, you call me, I'm here.
I go, you don't need
for the listeners. My whole screen just went blurry while they were summoning demons
with the knees touching.
Mm-hmm.
Getting steamy in here.
Yeah, I don't know what it is that she's doing that's causing my screen to turn weird.
She is the demon.
Do you think she's a familiar?
Definitely.
Yeah, maybe.
I tell Zoe all the time that if I went. First of all, when I was a witch back in the day, because let's face it, I was reincarnated into this. Zoe was not familiar.
Love that.
A past life regression episode.
Oh, yes. Yeah. But don't they like put you in like hypnosis and then like you talk through it and like you sometimes live through past trauma and shit? It's
that
a big deal.
So see, it's so funny that I'm like, no Ouija boards, but I'm like, girl, hypnotize me.
I mean, realistically, it's probably all like the same thing, you know?
Probably. Love it. I'm very excited.
So, looking at Christianity, in the Bible, it strictly states, there shall not be found among you anyone who practices witchcraft or a soothsayer or one who interprets omens or a sorcerer. Or one who conjures the spells, or a medium, or a spiritualist, or one who calls up the dead.
Whoever wrote the Bible had like a bad moment. He went to a medium. She said, "Do not." And he's
baby girl,
let me write this shit down.
I am.
She said some bad shit about him, and he was like, "That's not my life."
It's like she knows, and I don't like it.
No,
they say that for all those who do these things are an abomination to the Lord. This is seen throughout Buddhism. This is seen in Catholicism. Literally, we can, you know, which is kind of weird, though, because it's strange that one religion is totally fine with it and then all the others are not. So that's kind of confusing to me.
What's the one religion that's fine with it?
Well, just spiritualism in general, like people that.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
So now it wasn't until popular culture where this idea of a change of the attitude towards the Ouija board changes. This was in 1973, and that stemmed from the movie and the novel The Exorcist.
Burr, 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 burr. Segway.
Because The Exorcist, if you haven't heard.
Based on Roland Doe.
If you haven't listened to Nicole's amazing three-part
episode.
Go back and listen.
Roland Doe. And in case you didn't listen to it, a little recap. This was based on the 1949 case where a young boy known as Roland Doe, he was the most famous alleged cases of demonic possession in the United States with this. And this involved a series of disturbing events, including noises, which was like a lot of thumpity thump noises.
Yeah, a lot of tip-tapping sounds.
A lot of trotting, a lot of bed action.
Bed shaking.
Not in the good way.
And I was just going to say this. So you have to be like, not in the fun way.
Yeah,
a lot of shaking. Objects being moved, and the boy was speaking in guttural voices in languages, which he apparently never learned. After traditional medical and psychological treatments failed him, underwent a series of exorcism, which were reportedly successful in relieving his symptoms, which is where the exorcist came from. We should say that he became possessed, though, because he used a Ouija board, right, Nicole?
Allegedly. So his great aunt was a major spiritualist. Again, this happened in like the 1930s. It was 1930s. So again, when I had mentioned that like resurgence of like everyone getting into spiritualism in like the 1920s and 30s. So his aunt was a big spiritualist and he like took an interest in that. So like we know he was using Ouija boards with his aunt and allegedly he used a Ouija board after her death to try and contact her.
Segway.
And that he got possessed by a demon, and this is why y'all need to not fuck around.
Which is saying.
Because Rolando found out.
Go listen to that episode if you haven't. Those three episodes if you haven't.
That demon was acting a fool with Roland.
He was making him sing.
And say dirty things. Throwing shit.
Okay, go listen.
Yeah.
But as we know, before The Exorcist came out, Ouija boards were seen as like just a harmless parlor game. But the film portrayed the Ouija board as dangerous and a tool that could invite malevolent spirits into one's life, which could lead to possession or other terrifying consequences. So this is where things kind of really took a turn. It also didn't help that The Exorcist was released around the time, already around an uneasy time in America, because people were still freaked out from the Manson cult murders.
Satanic panic.
The satanic panic was huge. And there was a number of mass serial killings happening as well. So this whole time was like fucking scary, like around the 70s and whatnot.
We don't got serial killers like we did back in the day.
No, we don't, thankfully. I think people kind of figured that shit out early. We haven't done a serial killer.
We got to get Lizzie on that.
That would be fun. I would like to do a serial killer. On top of that, like Nicole mentioned, in 1969, the USA was witnessing the beginning of modern Satanism through Anton LaVey, who wrote the Satanic Bible and founded the Church of Satan. So people were freaked out. I'm not commenting on Satanism or anything like that, but in a general sense, back then, people were freaked out. So take that for what it is. And then finally, we'll leave off on a scientific explanation to how the Ouija board could potentially be working. So from a scientific perspective, the movement of the planchette is generally attributed to what's called the ideomotor effect. The ideomotor effect is a phenomenon which a person makes unconscious movements in response to a suggestion or an idea. These movements are often small and involuntary, and the person may not be aware that they are causing them, which could reflect on different actions or unconscious intent. So in context of the Ouija board, ideomotor effect can explain the movement of the planchette. So whether people are asking a question where they want their answer to, subconsciously, they could just be moving the planchette themselves. And that's how people think that it actually works. What are your guys' thoughts on that? Do we ookie spooky, demonic possession, or people are doing it themselves?
Like subconsciously moving it or
consciously?
Like, I don't know.
Like I get for like yes or no questions, maybe I get that. Mm-hmm. But like if you tell me like, what's your name? Am I like subconsciously going to Becky? And I'm like, what happens if there's four of us and we all have different subconscious pulls towards different names? How is that working?
So I saw this, I'm going to call it an experiment where I don't know who did it or what, but it was on YouTube and some man had a group of people and he was essentially taking the group and having them use the Ouija board without blindfolds and then with blindfolds. When they did it without blindfolds, he would ask about, you know, someone that died, someone personal to somebody else in the group. And they were able to accurately answer, let's say, for example, what year did you die? It was an accurate reading on the Ouija board
without blindfolds.
Then they did it again with blindfolds on and he asked another personal question revolving either somebody that died or somebody that they wanted to get information from, and it basically bounced to blank spaces all over the board, so they were not able to get any form of accurate reading from the board at that point, which I thought was really interesting. But
yeah.
So it's all just in our brains.
Could be.
Even more of a reason for us to try it, Nicole.
I don't know what it is about Gita's butthole that keeps turning me green.
It's that booty. That booty, though.
That stank booty.
I mean, y'all could try it and then report back to me with your findings.
Yeah.
What do you think, like?
I don't know.
Like, is it real spookies?
I feel like I need to... Well, I want to try it for myself. But I also feel like a lot of these unconscious feelings could influence the answers.
Mm-hmm.
And then as far as all of these scary stories online, from what I was seeing is that you almost have to go into it with a specific intent, like you're talking about earlier.
True.
A lot that of people who go into these with the intent of being scared, with the intent of speaking to demonic entities, end up having negative experiences because they go in with that thought. So I think subconsciously we are provoking a reaction. But at the same time, I think it's very viable that we could be talking to other realms at the same time. So I think it's a combination of the two. Does that make sense?
Yeah,
it does. Do you think we're subconsciously moving it? Like, that's the part that I don't get, is the subconscious movement of the, what's it called?
The planchette.
Planchette. I was going to say the platel.
The placenta.
She's going to move the platel, girl. The planchette. So like, are people just moving it? I don't really get that.
I mean, I feel like we won't know until we try it ourselves.
You're right.
Mm-hmm. But
have fun.
There are tons of stories online of people that, you know, they feel it's real. So
yeah.
The overall history of the Ouija board.
I just think it's so weird how it's something that's like mass marketed.
I also think that's very interesting. Mm-hmm. Like, as a toy, yeah. As a game.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I could go to Target right now and buy one.
Yeah. It is.
You go to Amazon and get it tomorrow.
Yeah.
Probably find a cute one.
Probably a cute pink one.
Mm-hmm. What about the ones that are made out of, like, human flesh?
Oh.
Y'all have heard about the Ouija boards made out of, like, human skin?
Yeah. Oh my god, guys.
Like dried skin,
guys.
That's okay. So like that,
you know how there's books like that are bound in like human skin.
Okay, so that kind of Ouija board I would never touch,
honestly. Though
why? Because it's human, or you think it's Bad News Bears?
I feel like that's Bad News Bears. Like, I feel like you already have an incentive and a feeling connected to that this is skin, this is somebody's human skin, dried and peeled and pulled onto this little board.
Can you guys make me into a Ouija board, please?
Weren't we supposed to do something else? Oh,
I can't remember.
Launch your body into outer space.
That or stuff me. I don't know. It was something like morbid, but
we'll make you into a Ouija board.
I'll put it in my will.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then maybe we can cremate like half of you, and we can put like your ashes in like
we
a little
supposed to ship her around
crystal
too?
Thing.
Oh, was it that? I can't remember. We mentioned this in one of the episodes. Very
Lexi, we have made multiple mentions of what we're going to do with your body.
With my dead body.
Maybe it was you wanted to be shipped around.
I think it might have been like with my
like
with
spend
my ashes?
Time with yeah, and like spend time with different people.
Have you ever done kinda this like thing?
Yeah, Sisterhood of the Traveling,
Pants.
Oh yeah, mm-hmm. That's where we got that from. Do you guys remember, I don't know if you guys did this in elementary school, where there was like a stuffed teddy bear and like you shipped it to different parts of the world and then people would write about it and they would take pictures with the teddy bear in different parts of the world?
Not girl.
Okay, well, I want that with my ashes, where you ship me around and you're like, write stories about how you spent your time with Alexa.
I mean, I think it's cool. And it like people will be connecting with you.
Yeah, I'll be dead, so it doesn't really matter. Yeah.
What if somebody accidentally loses you?
Okay, I won't know.
What an adventure. Yeah. Where are you going to get lost? Are you truly lost? Or is this part of the adventure of your ashes?
Part of the journey.
Yeah.
Or are you going to get like sucked up into a vacuum or something? People drop you on the floor.
I like that.
Oh. And then you're in the garbage. How, like, but an adventure nonetheless.
Adventure.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought we were going to stuff her body and then put her in the spaceship.
That might have been it.
I feel like depending on the conversation we've had, we've wanted to do different things with it, Lexi.
Yeah.
Yeah, it changes every episode, so.
Yeah.
I just want to be like a tree or something.
Oh, yeah.
Same, yeah. I just want to be put in a little tree pod, plant me somewhere, give my sustenance to the tree.
That's cute.
And the maggots.
And they're going to like chop me down and print me on like a college textbook or something.
Math.
Oh, God. It would be like a fucking math
fractions.
For the statistics. Podcast listeners, I am literally like number dyslexic.
Oh, I feel that. Not a math girly.
Yeah. I am not a math girly. One plus one, who knows?
I get so upset because I want to so badly be a math girly. Mm-hmm. And I took pre-calc in high school in junior year. And there was a point where the teacher said, you know what? This might just not be good for you. And I was like, you're supposed to know this. She's like, I didn't get it. It just didn't connect. Didn't and I'm like, so upset. I want to do quantum physics. I want to do crazy things with math. And I can't fucking add fractions together.
Bitch, I was in remedial math in college.
Me too. I was the stupid math people.
I took college algebra at least 3 times. Like, the fuck? I remember my stats teacher let me cheat off of someone in high school. Statistics teacher let me cheat off of someone else's test.
I never took statistics.
Good for you, because that shit sucked ass.
I think I only took like algebra and maybe like trigonometry, because I think they knew. They were like, this dumb bitch, she can't add. I can't. I'm so like number dyslexic.
He let me cheat off of other people's tests. He's like, just look at his paper. I'm like, wow.
Okay. Thanks for teaching me.
Thanks. He did. He tried. He actually tried really hard. He did.
I think some teachers just know.
Just didn't happen.
But I'm a reader. Like, I'm a very, like, avid reader. I'm telling you, you're either a math gay or a reading gay. But you can't be both.
I want to be a math gay, guys. Why?
No, girl, you're a reading gay.
Why?
You okay?
No, this makes me really upset. Like, I want so badly to be able to fucking do, like, calculus. That's fucking... So- I mean, shoot rockets up with fucking algebra and shit.
Nah, girl, you lost that. It's too late.
I know. I can't even add.
We can't do math, but we're out here reading fucking fairy porn.
I don't know, girl. I'm really upset about it. I'm sorry,
guys. You think that that's why you like couldn't live up to your fullest potential, because you can't do math?
I feel like that was the thing that held me back, and I don't know at what point I lost it, because I felt very like I was decent with math up until maybe like. Mm-hmm. 9th, 10th grade, 8th grade,
John, like, that was it. You have to work smarter, not harder. You have to hire some bitch to do that for you.
I want to be that bitch.
No.
I want to be the bitch. No. I want to know how to do math. You know, maybe I'll just like get some math books and like teach myself. Maybe I wasn't taught correctly.
Lexi, what do you think your truest potential was supposed to be?
Not a fucking teacher, that's for sure. I don't fucking know, but wasn't this. I'm not sure, because I'm not really good at anything other than like artsy stuff. So, and so ADHD squirrel.
You're not like, okay, this was a job that I was meant to do, but I was held back for whatever reason.
I have no idea what my true potential would have been.
I feel like mine was working with animals, but.
Oh, I can see that.
There's no money in that.
No.
So that's why I never.
Oh, you guys are frozen. Oh. Oh.
And we lost internet connection. The demons got Lexi. But that's the end of our episode on Ouija boards. If you enjoyed, please rate and subscribe and follow us on all of our social media platforms at Scare Me Straight. And stay spooky, bitches.